Has anybody else looked at their watch yet? Because I got like an extra 10 minutes, man. We're excited. This is good. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Okay, that was better than I expected. Let's try it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. Cool. So I've done this a couple times, preached in front of you guys a couple times. Y'all know I kind of like to be energetic, and I like you guys to be awake. I don't like it when people sleep, because then I want to sleep, and then it's just bad. I mean, you can't preach and sleep at the same time. You can't listen and sleep at the same time. So unless you're like doing some sort of osmosis, that'd be kind of cool. So today we're going to talk about something in the sermon title, which I am terrible at titling sermons. It's really funny. I was in seminary, and they're all asking me, you know, like, what's the title of your sermon? I have no clue. I don't title things. I'm terrible at titling things. It's Zephaniah 1. I'm like, that's what it is. but actually, I do have a title for this one, and it's Christian Complacency. And the question I want to start out for you guys right now, and don't answer this. This is rhetorical, but I want you to think about it. Why are you here this morning? There's a couple of different answers for this, and if we're honest. One of them is the check in the box. Well, I've done it all my life. This is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to show up to church. Here I am. There's also the, well, I'm supposed to come to church. I'm a Christian, so I come and I put my money in the offering plate and I talk to people and I'm nice to people. Okay, all right, good. Glad you're here. The next one is, I'm a guest. I've never been here before and I just was checking out churches. Or maybe I've never been to church before and I'm just coming here this morning just to see what it's all about. What's it all about? This morning, I hope that you're not here just for the check in the box. Because we talk a little bit in church about being saved, coming to Christ. And let me tell you right now, coming to church, Christmas, Easter, woo, I came here on Christmas and Easter, or coming to church every week, does not make you a born-again believer. Good, I like that. I like that when people say amen. If you feel compelled to say amen, do it, because it feeds me. I'm an extrovert. I'm kind of like, yeah, this is cool. So let's all get excited in here about something. So Christian complacency, what I'm gonna correlate this to is a little bit of what the Israelites did, of Israel's complacency. Later on, when you read in Romans chapter 9, Paul begins talking about this statement, and he says, not all Israel is Israel. Now, let me just explain this for a second. So Israel, this ethnic Israel, and then there's spiritual Israel. So if you're a basically born-again believer, you are Israel. You're not ethnic Israel, but you're born again. It's named to you as Israel. Well, when you look in the scriptures, we're going to look in Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 4. I'm reading out of the NASB. It'll be up on the screen too. And Zephaniah is going to talk a little bit about this. He's going to talk about Israel, the ethnic Israel, and his people, God's chosen people. And then we're going to go over to Romans chapter 11 at the end of this, and I'm going to show you what ends up happening to Israel, which some of you may already know. So the context of Zephaniah kind of comes out, it comes out of 2 Kings chapter 17. You don't need to look there. Just reference it back later on. And essentially what's going on is, Israel's doing their own thing. They're having a good time. And then all of a sudden, Assyria comes in and they start attacking the Israelites. And this is one of the first exiles of Israel. And basically, they kick them out of their own town. So they say, you're not in Jerusalem anymore. You're going to go to Assyria. And now we're going to make you worship our gods. We're going to make you do our thing instead of what you say you're supposed to do. And in 2 Kings, it starts to talk about, you know, why Israel fell. Okay, well, one of the things was is they were serving Baal. Now, yeah, they were serving God. Did you know that this weekly assembly that we do on Sundays, did you know they've been doing it all the way back in those Jewish times in the temple? They met once a week. And but they were also serving Baal. Now, what does that mean, they were serving Baal? Were they going, oh, Baal? You know, no, not like that necessarily, but kind of just nonchalant, just, yeah, you know, I think I'll do this thing that's against God. They're serving someone that's not God. They also sought after their own desires. They said, you know what? This is what I want to do. It makes me feel good. Let's do it. If you've ever heard, if it feels good, do it, that's wrong, because sometimes it feels good to hit somebody because they were mean to you. But that's bad. We don't do that. We don't hit anybody because that would be wrong. Would you guys all agree? Yes, okay, but sometimes we get angry, and sometimes it would feel good to just, you know, do the wrong thing, wouldn't it? Just in that moment. Anybody? I know I feel good. If I felt good right in the moment if I did something that was, you know, wrong, but it made me feel good. So if it feels good, don't necessarily do it. You need to pray about it. So they sought after their own desires, and they became complacent in their ways. They went to the weekly assembly. They may have made their sacrifices. They tithed. They did the little, you know, checks in the box that they were supposed to do. And they were comfortable. But they had no desire for God. They actually weren't fulfilling what God's will for them was. So let's look at Zephaniah Chapter 1, starting in verse 4. So, I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place. And the names of the idolatrous priests along with the priests. Okay, so really quick, idolatry. Some people think it's the little golden statue that you go, oh, holy gold thing. That guys, we all suffer from idolatry. It's any time that you put something in front of God. So for me, I have to be careful not to put my video games in front of God. I don't know what you guys do. So so anyway, be careful of idolatry. It could be money. Did you know it could be your spouse or your children? In the list of priorities, you realize it should go God, spouse, children. You could check that out in Scripture, but that is the order of things. God is absolutely first. Verse 5. And those who bowed down on the housetops to the hosts of heaven, and those who bowed down and swear to the Lord and swear by Milcom, and those who have turned back from following the Lord, and those who have not sought the Lord or inquired of him, be silent before the Lord God. For the day of the Lord is near. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated his guests. He's talking about Christ. He's prepared his sacrifice. Jesus is that sacrifice. Verse 8. Then it will come about on the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes, the king's sons, and all who clothe themselves with foreign garments. He's talking about non-believers. That's what I was talking about earlier, of not all Israel is Israel. It's not talking about ethnic Israel, but spiritual Israel. If you're curious about that, read Romans 8. Through 11, and that'll give you a better idea of what he means by that. Verse 9, and I will punish on that day all who leap on the temple threshold, who fill the house of their Lord with violence and deceit. On that day, declares the Lord, there will be the sound of a cry from the fish gate, a wail from the second quarter, and a loud crash from the hills. Wail, O inhabitants of the mortar, for all the people of Canaan will be silenced. All who weigh out silver will be cut off. And here's where I want you to really pay attention if you hadn't already. Verse 12. It will come about at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps. That means he's going to search all your dark places. Not your, but ours. And I will punish them who are stagnant in spirit, who says in their hearts, the Lord will not do good or evil. Now there's a lot in here in Zephaniah 1, but I'm only wanting to take one thing from it, and it's really this last piece of scripture right here. Stagnant, complacent. Now, let's understand something about complacency. Complacency is good in some places, it's bad in others. So we should be complacent on the things that we have, okay? So God has blessed me with the things that I have, so I am complacent. I'm okay with it. That's totally fine. We should not, however, be complacent in our walks with Christ. We should continually seek after God. Now, I'm going to jump over to Romans chapter 12. It's not going to be on the screen. I'm just going to reference it. But Romans chapter 12, verse 2. This is a really cool verse. This is actually the motto of the youth group right now. And it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now, you guys, most of you guys are like, yeah, obviously, yeah. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But I want you to listen to this part. So be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. This should be about fulfilling God's will. If you're here today to fulfill your check in the box, you're wrong. This isn't the place for you. Now, what do I mean by that? So ask yourself this again. Why am I here today? Why am I here today? Well, I wanted to be fed. Okay, great. Great, this is a great place to get fed. But you're telling me you only feed yourself once a week? I don't know about you guys, but I eat three meals a day. I don't miss them. I like to eat food. Well, their spiritual food should be the same. You should be feeding yourselves at home by reading Scripture, by seeking after God. What's God telling you us to do? Hey, I have a question. Here's another one for you. Don't raise your hands. If you've evangelized to someone, you told somebody about Jesus, and I don't mean like, you know, Jesus, the guy that died on the cross. Not like that, but actually shared the gospel with someone. Ask yourself, have you shared with anyone in the last year? Have you shared with anyone in the last 6 months? I don't know about you, but the main commandment that God gave us, that Jesus gave us right before he left, was he said, go therefore and make disciples. Are you making a disciple? Are you seeking after someone? Are you doing the will of God? Are you praying over someone right now and trying to disciple them? That's the one thing he told us to do. And I struggle with it. He didn't say, go therefore and come to church on Sundays. Go therefore and tithe your offerings. Those things are good. We need to do those things. But the main thing he told us to do was make disciples. And many of us are not. It's not easy. Well, I don't know how. What if they ask me a question I don't know? It doesn't matter. Your job is to present the gospel. Our job is to present the gospel, to tell someone about Christ. And God persuades. He changes the heart, not us. So let's move on. Now this is the verse that this is the scripture in youth group. We've been going through Romans, and we've gotten all the way. It took us like a year to get through 11 chapters, which was awesome. But anyway, I'm going to look at Romans chapter 11, verse 8 and 9. Go ahead and go there really quick. We're gonna finish up in here. Romans chapter 11, verse 8 and 9. And I'll give you guys a little context of this. But this is Paul, and he's writing to the Roman church. He's concluding his argument on salvation. He's talking all the way from 1 through 11, has been talking about how we are depraved and God's sovereignty and the free will of man. All this stuff is right here. And at the end of it, he says this. This is towards the end. Verse 8. Just as it is written, this is Isaiah, God gave them, being Israel, a spirit of stupor or stupidity, eyes so they would eyes to see not and ears to hear not, down to this very day. And David saw it's either 67 or 69, I wrote it down. Let their table become a snare and a trap, and a stumbling block and a retribution to them. Let their eyes be darkened to see not, and bend their backs forever. Now there's a whole other sermon in this. But this points to what's going on in Psalms, which points to later on Kings and Zephaniah, which is the time that we're talking about now. And understand some context of the table. So it says their table became a snare and a trap. The table is not like the table we eat at now, where, you know, we sit with our hands folded and we eat, we have the forks here and stuff, and we're like sitting up straight and hurting our backs. They're actually reclining. This is my kind of table. They lean back, they relax, and they eat their food. This is a place of relaxation. So their place of relaxation, their place of complacency, let it become a snare and a trap. That's what it's talking about, and a stumbling block and a retribution to them. So church family, what does this have to do with us? Once again, why are we here? If it's the check in the box, I'm not saying leave, I'm saying change it. Come for the right reason. What is comfortable for us as a church, not just me too, is to sit back and relax. Come to church on Sunday, maybe Wednesday, and that's it. And then I go about my life just normal. If that's you, then change it. Because you're not here for the right reason. So what should we be doing as Christians? So Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about this. It talks about the body of Christ. Somebody yell out for me and tell me the right answer. What is the church called? What is the church? Who could tell me what the church is? Somebody raise your hand and tell me what the church is. The body of Christ. Exactly. The body of Christ. It's the people. So Romans 12 and Corinthians 12, those are two of the places where Paul talks about spiritual gifts. These are the gifts that if you are a born-again believer, you have them. And some of these gifts include, are not limited to, prophecy, which isn't what you think it is. It's not fortune-telling. I'm seeing, you know. It's not like that. It's discernment. It's being able to say, you know what, if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. That's what prophecy is. There's preaching. There's teaching. There's pastoring. There's serving. Mercy. Evangelism. Administration. Giving. Exhortation, which is encouragement. What do you love to do? Well, you guys don't do what I love to do. You know, I want to, you know, sew. Okay, well, great. How can you make that work for the church? Maybe we don't have your gift here right now because no one can do it. Maybe the reason why we don't do something is because we have nobody that has the skill to do it. What are your skills? What are your gifts? Share them with the church. So here's my question. Here's my last question for you tonight. Tonight. I'm used to preaching on Wednesdays, which is night. And this night, we're in the morning. Good morning. All right. So we're the body. Each individual, you're a big toe, you're a little toe, armpit, back of the knee, front of the knee. Yeah, you're definitely my patella. All right. What else we got? Left nostril, right nostril. Got a hand, foot. We got different parts of the body in here, right? So being a part of the body, you have to do something, right? Not just come to church. If you just come to church and you sit in a pew, you're just a dead body. So let's say there's one person in here. This is a hypothetical. I'm not really thinking of anybody. But we have a body, and it's good, it's working, it's moving. What happens if my leg stops working? What happens? Yeah. I got to drag on the floor and work harder. Guess what? If you're a part of the body, and you're not using your gift for the church, you are leaving the church handicapped. Without raising your hands, think about this. Ask yourself the question, am I leaving my church handicapped? This is a hard message. This is not something that I easily came to. I was really praying about it, and God's like, dude, this is it. We've got this big event happening. It's the crafts show. We have this huge event happening. There's going to be tons of people here. Last time, it was like 2 years ago, I guess, and it was, this whole lot over here was just loaded with people. Opportunities to evangelize and tell people about Jesus. No, I understand. Not everybody can go. I understand that. Don't hear me say, well, if you don't do everything, you're wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But how many of us will be there on Saturday, October 1st, serving our church? How many of us will be here on Wednesday night to help with Awana? How many in this church will help with the youth group on Wednesday nights, or another time? How many of you will be here to help in any way? I'm not telling you, hey, this is what you got to do. You must come here to serve. That is kind of what we do. We as a body of believers, we serve one another. And if you got a hand over here and a hand over here, and this hand hates this hand, it's not going to work together, is it? We got to love each other. We got to work with each other. We got to talk to each other. What can you do as an individual to make your part of the body not handicapped anymore? What can you do? Are we fulfilling the will of God? It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind to fulfill the will of God. We're not fulfilling the will of God by sitting in our pew and listening to the pastor every Sunday. You're not fulfilling the will of the God. The will of the God. You're not fulfilling the will of God just by showing up. There are so many different ways to serve. Have you evangelized anybody? Have you told anybody about Christ? That's like the minimum. We start there. We tell. How many of you guys, so football season started, right? We had games. Okay, how many of you guys talked about the football games that were going on? And girls, yeah, sure. I don't watch football. I would prefer, I don't like watching people play stuff that's fun. Like, that's just, I don't want to watch someone go swimming. I want to swim, you know? And same thing, I want to play football. But anyway, but how many of us talked about those and told our friends, dude, Bama won, or whoever played won? All I know is Alabama, because that's what my family is. But how many of us did that, but you didn't tell that same person about Christ? There's this guy, his name is, and I've probably shared this 1,000 times. His name is Penn Jillette. He's a, he's an atheist comedian. And one night, he shares this video, and this one night, he said I had this Christian came up to me, and they gave me a tract and a Bible, and that was it, and they walked away. And he said he thought to himself, he said, you know, at first he was kind of annoyed by it. But then he thought about it, and he said, you know, they really believe this. They really believe that, you know, I'm going to hell because I don't believe in this Jesus guy. And I thought about it, and he said, you know, how much do you have to hate somebody not to tell them they're about to enter hell? I had to answer that question a few years ago. It was in a Francis Chan book. I think it's called Erasing Hell. Great book. Do we really care? Do you really care? Get involved. If you don't see, let's say, you know, I'll use Ken because he's easy. Carpentry, dude, he can build stuff like a madman. He serves his church with that skill. He's not the only one. But he serves the church. He helped build that sign. He helped build the, or he didn't help, he did it. He built that screen thing. He's using his skills. It wasn't something that, you know, he saw the need for the church. We weren't necessarily doing it, but he stepped up and did it. He wasn't the only one, but there's places that you can step up. Man, we don't have a, I don't even know. See, I can't even think of it. I just think of what we have. What's your talent? Okay, my talent, music. I play drums. Earl's talent, computers and whatnot. He's up there. We got choir people. What's your talent? What's your gift? Use it. Don't leave us handicapped. Now, if you're a guest with us today and you're just searching for a church, I welcome you to become a part of our body. Become a hand. Become a foot. We're an armpit. Armpits are good too. Gotta have those. Can't move the arms without the armpits. Sometimes you stink, but that's okay. we can put deodorant on you, it'll be all right. So I want you guys to think about this week. This is an action, okay? We got, dude, y'all are getting out early today, all right? Yeah, amen, right? and I'm doing this is a shorter sermon because I want you to do something about this. Please don't leave here unchanged. When you get up from this pew, don't just leave. Guests, come talk to us. We want to get to know you. Don't feel uncomfortable. It's okay. You know, we're a laid-back church. We're cool. We want to get to know you. We want to know you. We want to be friends with you. We want you guys to, whether you're going to stay here or not, we're not going to come and knock on your door unless you want us to. I promise. We want you to feel welcome here. We want you to feel loved. Get to know our people. The church is not this building, but the building does serve a purpose. The church is all of us. We're a body. Don't leave the church handicapped. What can you do to serve? If you're not sure, ask. Maybe we need you to teach. But if you're not a teacher, then don't teach. If you don't like kids, don't work with kids. Serve what you love. You guys follow me on that? Okay, so I want everybody right here, right now, we're going to pray. We're going to double pray, if you don't mind, because I'm going to pray, and then he's going to pray. And I want you to start thinking this week, what can I do to serve the church? How can I make this church not handicapped? How can we function with 20% of the church doing all the work? There are so many things to do other than sit in the pew and hold the spot down. These pews, most of them are drilled down. I know because I helped do it. Some of them, like this one, aren't. Don't sit in that one. That's why we put the hues there. just kidding. We don't need you to hold the pew down. We need you to get up and do something. So I'm going to pray for you guys. I'm going to pray for me that I will make actions as well. Let's all make actions, and then Dick Smith's going to come up here, and he's going to pray us out. Dear Lord God, we just love you so much. Lord, I pray for the people in this room. I pray for the people that are serving in the nursery. I pray for the people that are serving in security. Lord, that's one of the things that we need. We got two people doing that right now. Lord, we need help in the nursery. We got very few people doing that right now. It's been closed on some Sundays. How can we get more families if we're closed? Lord, I pray that you will kick us all in the rear and make us do something, Lord. We don't want to be handicapped for you. We want to live for you. We want to live out our lives all for you. Lord, transform us by the renewing of our mind to fulfill your will. Lord, let all these people that are in here, including myself, be changed as we walk out the doors and stand up from the pews. Let us talk together. Let us fellowship. Let us get to know one another. And let us be a healthy body, a strong body. Lord, I pray these things in your name. Amen.